Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Levi Mintz, Rabbi of Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad for Scythe, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Heish. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforscythe.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 WDUN. Yes, indeed, it is the Schmooze, Bill Main hanging out with Rabbi Levi Mintz. Rabbi, how are you this morning?
Thank God, doing great. It's wonderful to be able to schmooze together with you, with all of our listeners, and excited about a really fantastic show.
I am doing fantastically well also, and excited to talk about our topic today. Before we go that, been excited to hear about all the things going on at the synagogue. It's really starting to move these days, so tell me what's going on.
A lot of wonderful things are happening, but I got to tell you, Bill, the next big thing is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is in just 5 weeks.
Can
you imagine?
It's coming up.
Like, what in the world is going on? Time is flying, and it's such a wonderful time of the year of just community, unity, coming together, and there's just a beautiful energy this time of the year. And this year, every single night of Hanukkah, there's going to be another public menorah lighting in different parts of North Georgia. So, you know, everyone can just go to the website, jewishforscythe.org, jewishforscythe.org, to see where it's happening so that you can participate. But I just want to highlight on Tuesday night, which is going to be the third night of Hanukkah, December 20th, is going to be the big Hanukkah celebration at the Halcyon. I don't know if you're familiar with the Halcyon. It's a new development that's right off exit 12, off the 400, and there's going to be a grand community-wide Hanukkah celebration. The theme is going to be Shine Your Light. You know, everyone has a little bit of light that they have inside of them, their lane, their space, that when they shine it, they make their part of the world a better place. And when we all shine our light, the whole world becomes just filled up with goodness and kindness. And so we're going to be celebrating our unique light that we shine. There's going to be food and drink and entertainment. The leadership of the area, of the counties, are going to be coming together. It's just going to be a fantastic Hanukkah celebration in community unity. So what I would say is, number one, mark your calendar. Tuesday, December 20th, the Halcyon, 5 p.m. And number two, invite at least 10 friends, family and friends to come. Don't miss out. It's really going to be the highlight season, holiday season celebration where everyone will be coming together. And so that's the big thing coming up, Bill.
Keep it on the horizon for sure and make sure it's on the calendar. And I'm going to be excited to hear more about all the great celebrations going on during Hanukkah. And I know that you folks, like you mentioned, you've got food and drink. You don't go hungry, do you?
Listen, you cannot go hungry. The path to the soul is the stomach. So you first have to go through the stomach. And if the stomach's okay, the soul's doing fine.
There you go. It's going to be a great time. By the way, any other events that we need to know about or anything projects-wise there at the synagogue that are happening?
Listen, it's fully robust. I mean, there's stuff happening for the women, through the sisterhood, for the men, through the men's club, through the Sunshiners, those 55 plus, through the Sunshiners, the teens, the children, through Judah, through C-Teen, all of the Shabbat services that are happening through the synagogue. It's, the heartbeat is pumping and it's pulsating and there's vibrancy and there's energy. And there's just a lot going on so many levels. Just go to jewishforscythe.org and you see it all laid out. The buffet is out. You just got to pick what you love, what's meaningful to you, and then get engaged, get involved, and enjoy being a part of the local Jewish community.
A lot of excitement going on there. We're going to find out about today's topic in just a bit. We've got a great schmooze lined up for you. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. We continue with the Schmooze, Bill Main Hangout with Rabbi Levi Mintz, and we're ready to schmooze on something, and I think it's a four-letter word, kind, and we're talking about expanding that into kindness. And what should kindness look like to us?
You know, before we jump into what kindness should look like, I was speaking with someone today. I was in their office and just, you know, talking about life. And we were talking about how today there's an incredible amount of wealth in the world and even locally, meaning today people are living wealthier than they ever lived before. People have multiple cars. People have a lot of toys. In terms of lifestyle, there's an incredible amount of luxuries, which is incredible. I mean, even look at our home. You know, we were studying from the Talmud that, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, homes were two rooms. It was the space that you slept, and it was the space that you ate. You didn't even have a toilet in your house. You were lucky if you had a toilet in walking distance from your home. And, of course, it was a community toilet. It wasn't yours. In the middle of the night, you went with a lantern and you waited online. And today, our homes are ginormous, right? We have multiple bedrooms. We have our kitchens. I mean, just think about where you eat. We have multiple places where we eat. God forbid to have one area where we eat, right? We have our dining room. Then we have our dinette. Then you have to, of course, in the basement, you have to have another area where if you want to eat down there, you can eat down there as well. Then you have another eating area on your patio or on your deck. And then if that's not enough, even in the kitchen, you have to put out a huge extended granite countertop. So now you have another area to put chairs to sit and eat. You have almost five areas just to eat, right? Then like living room space. I mean, you have your regular living room, you have your formal living room, then you have your family living room, and then, of course, you have to have another living room in your basement. We'll call it a man cave. Today in the master bedroom, if you don't have a living room in your master room on the side, little steps that go down or little steps that go up, I mean, it's a joke. You're a pauper who doesn't have a living room in their master bedroom. And then forget about you have to have an outdoor living room space that's special materials just if it rains. We are living in such wealthy times. But in terms of our spirit, there's major poverty.
I would agree.
Today we're living in a time where there's major, major poverty when it comes to spirit. People are low. People don't wake up with a fire in their belly of reason, of purpose, of connectivity. And there's a real, real lack of spirit in the average Joe. And what really helps a person have spirit, which is so important, because with spirit, you have it all. Without spirit, you have nothing. A lot of it has to do with connectivity, with how we feel and how we are in our connections with others. People that are connected to others, people that are engaged in community, people that have cares and friendships and relationships outside of themselves, where they give and they're a part of that community relationships with other people, these are people that have a much better chance of having spirit. Spirit comes through connectivity and giving. And that leads us to kindness. We're living in a time where kindness is more necessary than ever. Because the more we're kind, we get life as well. The more we give, you get. The more we bring happiness to another, the more we become happy. The more we can put a smile on another person's face, the more we're going to smile. It's just the way it works. You know, referencing one story, I reference another story, just so happened to be this way. I bumped into a woman today and I asked her, I said, what's the fire in your belly today? Like, what's your spirit? So she thinks about it and she says, you know, what's the fire in my belly is the thought of me finding a person today to put a smile on their face.
Wow.
It's amazing, right?
I love that. That's great.
Absolutely. You know, this is the fire in her belly. Fire in her belly is that she's spending her day looking for a person that she could put a smile on their face. Because she knows that by putting a smile on that person's face, it's going to put a smile on her face. It's going to lift up her spirits. So looking outward to be a giver, to be connected to others, it's one of the great ways of lifting up ourselves and lifting up our own spirits. And I think one of the great examples of what kindness looks like and how far a person should go in being kindness is Abraham. You know, I always find it funny. You know, today in America, thank God we're so blessed, right? And how often is it that we're sitting in our beautiful home, in our very comfortable couch, and a person says, you know, okay, I want to be kind. I want to do something for another person. So what do? We take out our phones, we go to some charitable app, and we're glad that someone else is flying to the other side of the world, and we send them $25, right? And we feel great about ourselves. We send $25, and someone else, sadly, has to actually go to some godforsaken part of the world where there's nothing, where there's no tap water, where there's no life, where there's no proper places for people to live. And someone else will go and bring the $25 worth of bread and water to take care of them. By the way, it's better than doing nothing, so we don't want to make light of it. But that's the classic way that us as Americans do kindness. You know, we give money that someone else will do the kindness that we want to have happened. Abraham is the classic example of what kindness looks like. That was his whole life, right? It says in the Torah that Abraham built a tent with four doors that were wide open, that anyone who needed food, drink, or to have a place to sleep, he had you covered. Now, obviously, he was a very kind person, very charitable person, so this made sense that this was something that he wanted to do. But he could have done it anywhere in Israel, right? He could have set it up Jerusalem. Jerusalem's beautiful. Great temperatures. There's the rolling hills. It's just scenic. It's beautiful. He maybe could have done it in the coastal cities of Israel. There's some beautiful, beautiful coastal areas, the fresh water, the beautiful views, the wonderful temperatures. But that's not where Abraham set it up. Where did Abraham set up this place of kindness? He went to Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva is the south. Be'er Sheva is the desert area of Israel where there's nothing. There's literally nothing. There's no natural water. So obviously there's no natural plant life and vegetation. And he went there to set up this eshel, to set up this home for people. Now a person reading the story would be like, well, that makes sense, right? Go to a place where the environment will create a massive need, because anyone that's living or traveling or going through Be'er Sheva, the desert, the south part of Israel, they're probably going to be really hungry. So therefore, it's the perfect place to set up this inn of kindness. But I think what people take for granted is that Abraham went with his family. He went with his wife. He went with everything he had, and he moved to the south. He had to live now every single day in those conditions. He had to live every single day in the hot heat. You think it was enjoyable there? It's not enjoyable. Who wants to sit in a desert? You have a lot of other options. But Abraham was such an example of kindness that not only was he ready to be a giver and to give, but he even was ready to place upon himself a sense of discomfort in order to put a smile on another person's face. You know, it's very easy to put a smile on another person's face when I don't really have to do much in cramping my lifestyle. But that's not what Abraham did. Abraham was ready to cramp his own lifestyle to bring kindness to another person. That's very inspiring. That's next level. That's going all in to care about another. And I think that when we talk about kindness and how important it is, I think Abraham set the standard. Set the standard of what it looks like. Kindness looks like me waking up in the morning and ready to be kind to another, even if it means that my own personal lifestyle or comfort may be jeopardized because of the kindness. That's a high level, right? Most people, they're looking to do kindness for what they gain out of it. Maybe they gain honor, maybe they gain prestige. But to be kind in a selfless way, it's a very high level. But that was the ultimate level, and that's what Abraham taught. And so, of course, this is a great lesson for us to really have introspection. You know, during the holiday season, Bill, it's a time where people add in kindness. People are giving charity. People are finding ways to care for another. It's such a generous time of the year. And I think that our discussion really should inspire us to say, you know what, this year, what can I do? Even if it's one thing, what's the one act of kindness that I can do that is completely selfless? That I'm ready to be there for the person, and I know in the way that they need it, even if it means that I'll have to do something that may take away from my personal comfort, but I'm going to do it because I know that this is what the other person needs. And maybe this could inspire us to find one time, one action, one person, one moment of kindness that can really be a reflection of the type of kindness that Abraham inspired.
Fantastic. We're going to take a quick break. I have a couple of questions to follow up on kindness and get your take on a couple of things. So if you'll hang on just a second, folks, we're going to schmooze some more talking kindness with Rabbi Levi Mintz. We'll be right back. Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Back on the schmooze, Bill Main hanging out with Rabbi Levi Mintz, having a great discussion about one of my favorite topics, kindness, and what that looks like. And how it can look in our lives. And you've got some great illustrations so far this morning. So if you have another one you can share with us, Rabbi.
It's a great story, Bill. It's a Hasidic tale from about 250 years ago. There was a rabbi. His name was Rabbi Eli Melech from the city of Lezhenk. And he was once walking and he heard a voice that says, you need to go to the city of Nicholsburg. The community is having so much infighting. You got to help them out. So he went. And he asked the rabbi of the town, his name was Reb Shmelka, if he would have permission to address the city. Not a problem. He gets up. There's a few hundred people that came to hear him speak. And lo and behold, what does he speak about? He started saying, you know about all of the sins that are listed inside the Torah, inside the Bible, that everyone wants to do? Well, listen to this. And he went through every single sin, giving examples of how it is actually 100% permissible to do. You could imagine, by the end of his talk, the place was singing and dancing. They never have been filled with so much joy in their life. Really, all of the sins that are in the Torah that we want to do, it's just fine and it's all good. The place was filled with joy in ways that they've never had joy before. And so the rabbi said, I'm not done. This is part one. Tomorrow is part two. So you can imagine the next day, the place was filled. There wasn't a person that lived in that town that didn't show up. They couldn't wait to hear more. And the rabbi opens up and he says, let me tell you why I'm really here and what I'm really here to talk about. Yesterday was just a gimmick to get you here. You have to love each other. You have to care about each other. Stop the infighting. Stop everyone against each other's neck. Come together. You're one people. Show brotherhood. Show sisterhood. You don't realize your potential, how much you could accomplish, how much good can be done, how your lives will get better. Come together. Show community unity. And he left. As he left, he heard a voice that says, in honor of what you did, you have 24 hours to give a blessing, and your blessing will be fulfilled. He's walking for 23 hours and 55 minutes, and he sees no one. He says, God, you gave me the ability to give a blessing and it will be fulfilled, but there's no one here to bless. All of a sudden, there's a woman that all of a sudden emerges. He runs over to her and he says, I want to bless you with success and wealth. And he walks away. This woman is so shocked about what just happened. She runs home. She tells her husband exactly what happened. Within a few weeks, all of a sudden, their business completely changed, turned around, and they became unbelievably wealthy, filled with so much success. Let's fast forward. It's a few years later. This rabbi, Reb Eli Melech, from the city of Lezhenk, there was a family in need. And so he decided that he would have to raise 500 rubles to help out this family. So he started going from town to town to raise funds. And he goes to this town where this family that became wealthy through his blessing was living. So, of course, he goes and knocks on this house to raise the funds. He knocks on the door. The woman opens up, and boom, she sees the same man who years ago gave her this blessing. In her head, she's bumping into Elijah the prophet. She faints on the floor. Before you know it, her husband comes in to revive her. She's like, Elijah the prophet returned. Elijah the prophet returned. He says, I'm not Elijah the prophet. My name is Rebbe Elimelech from the city of Lezhenks, and I'm coming to raise 500 rubles because there's a family that's in need. So she tells her husband, he's the source of all of the blessings. Give him whatever he needs. So he looks at this rabbi and he says, okay, I'm ready to give all 500 rubles. And here's the end and the point of the story, Bill. Rebbe Elimelech, he looks at this couple and he says, I appreciate your generosity, but I'm only going to take at most half of your gift, 250 rubles. But why? He says, because if I take all 500 rubles from you, essentially, I'm also going to be taking away all of the merit that would have been given to all of the other people in this town that could have participated in the great good deed, in the great mitzvah of helping this family. And how can I do that? And he only took 250 rubles, and he spent the next week knocking on door after door after door, collecting kopeks and collecting rubles to help out this family. And I think that this story is so inspiring because it really cuts to the essence of what being kind is. Being kind is an honor. Being kind is a merit. I have an opportunity through the great blessings of God to have something, whether it's love, whether it's compassion, whether it's a good idea, whether it's an ear to listen, a shoulder to lean on, whether it's finances that I'm able to help on a financial way. God has given all of us blessings. And this story reminds us that when we give kindness to another in any capacity, it's an honor and it's a privilege. And honors and privilege deserve to be shared from everyone. We don't want to live in a world where only one, two, three people have the great honor to be kind. We want to live in an environment and a civilization where everyone has the opportunity to be a part of that kindness. Everyone has a way to be a part of that blessing. And this really touches at the heartbeat of what kindness is all about. Being kind is the greatest merit and honor and blessing that any individual can bring into their life. Because when we're kind, we fill up our lives with spirit. And when we fill up our lives with spirit, then it's a joyful life. It's a meaningful life. It's a purposeful life. It's a life that's filled with celebration.
You are so right, and I love that whole concept of, I have a friend of mine who is very giving, very kind, but often when there's something, a need that pops up, they're willing to take on the entire burden, so to speak, and I've had to remind them on a few cases because there's a whole group of us that wants to help out. You help out a little bit. The rest of us want to have the joy of giving and being able to share kindness and being involved. So that's such an important thing to remember for folks who really are blessed. You know, you don't have to do it all. Let's do it as a community because there's a lot of merit in sharing the ability to be kind.
And the lesson for those who usually don't give because they're leaning on that one person.
Right.
Don't give away your merit. Don't give away your blessing and say, he'll have all the blessing. Realize that you can have a hand in the merit and the blessing too.
Great talk on kindness this morning. Just fantastic. Love the schmooze. Every time we get together and I have a chance to speak with you, it's always refreshing. And I think these words on kindness, we need to take with us, not just for this next week, but every day, and try to find a way to do that in our daily lives. You talked about remote control kindness, just making a donation and letting somebody else do it. Get out there and get your hands dirty, because that's where you understand the blessing of kindness. And that's where you feel what the rabbi's talking about, that exhilaration of having purpose and of being alive. So thanks for sharing that with us this morning, Rabbi.
With pleasure. And let's never forget, l'chaim to life. Always infusing life into life.
The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforsife.org.